Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this edition of A Closer Look from Late Night with Seth Meyers, airing weeknights at 12:35, 11:35 Central on NBC, right after The Tonight Show.
President-elect Donald Trump prompted new questions this weekend about his foreign business ties and potential conflicts of interest, questions Trump's responded to by picking a fight with the cast of a Broadway musical. For more on this, it's time for A Closer Look. If you live in New York City, you would have bet everything you owned on Friday morning that it was impossible for people to talk about the musical Hamilton more. And by Saturday morning, you'd be broke.
President-elect Trump versus Hamilton.
The president-elect was up bright and early this morning, tweeting a defense of his second-in-command, Mike Pence, after Pence was booed Friday night at a performance of the hit musical Hamilton.
Later, as Pence was leaving, a cast member asked him to stop and listen to a prepared statement. Pence did stay, and this is part of what he heard.
We truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. Yeah. Oh.
Work on behalf of all of us? How dare you shout such hateful rhetoric from the stage? Next time you disagree with someone in the audience, take a page from our president-elect, who does it with dignity.
Take him out. Get him out of here. Don't give him his coat. Keep his coat. Confiscate his coat.
Now that is dignified. Now, there are some pundits out there who immediately tried to cast this episode as an example of the kind of culture clash that got Trump elected in the first place. The wealthy liberal elite ensconced in their Manhattan bubble, booing a politician from the heartland just because he happens to disagree with them. But those people are forgetting one thing. Mercilessly booing politicians of both parties is a time-honored tradition in this country, no matter where you're from. I'm sure there was a dude at the Gettysburg Address yelling, "I got your address, 1508, you suck Boulevard!" Nice hat! Did they not have it in your size? In fact, here's Pence earlier this year throwing out the first pitch at a minor league baseball game in his home state of Indiana.
The Indian season opener was a little rough for Governor Mike Pence.
I actually think there's a hopeful message hidden in all of this, which is our country may be divided, but one thing we can all find comfort in, whether you're at a Broadway show in Manhattan or a baseball game in Indiana, is booing the out of Mike Pence. Now, to be fair to Pence, his experiences with booing seems to have taught him that you can't take these things personally, as he demonstrated in a very statesmanlike interview Sunday on Fox News.
When we arrived, we heard a few boos and we heard some cheers, and I nudged my kids and reminded them that's what freedom sounds like.
So no matter what you think of Pence, that was a calm, mature response. And I bet Donald Trump went a different way with it.
President-elect Donald Trump is demanding an apology, tweeting, quote, Our wonderful future VP Mike Pence was harassed last night at the theater by the cast of Hamilton, cameras blazing. This should not happen.
The president-elect has a really busy day ahead. He had a busy Saturday. But what did he start his day talking about? What's his first statement to the American people? 6:23 this morning about Hamilton.
Trump tweeted out again this morning about the Hamilton incident. He said, "The cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated, should immediately apologize to Mike Pence for their terrible behavior."
So Donald Trump, the president-elect of the United States, spent the weekend in a Twitter fight with a Broadway musical. But once he's done with that, it's on to you, ISIS. Don't think you're off the hook, ISIS. You'll get your tweets soon enough. The Trump-Hamilton feud got so out of hand, it even sparked a social media backlash from conservatives.
Conservative critics calling to boycott Hamilton.
The top trending topic most of the day is hashtag boycott Hamilton.
Which is a great idea, except for the fact that tickets to Hamilton are sold out through August 2017. I hate to break it to you guys, but you're not boycotting Hamilton. Hamilton is boycotting you. For real. You'd be better off wasting your time boycotting other things that are impossible to get into, like Harvard or Queen Elizabeth's pants. Yeah, I'm boycotting her, bro. So to sum this whole thing up, Mike Pence is now officially the first vice president in history to lose a duel with Hamilton. But as fun as it is, and it's fun, as fun as it is to talk about this Hamilton feud, it's just a distraction from a far bigger story. A story that will one day be told in the hit Donald Trump musical, Scamilton. Because less than 2 weeks since Donald Trump was elected president, he's already making history by becoming the first ever president-elect to settle a class action fraud suit for $25 million before taking office.
There's breaking news tonight. Donald Trump has agreed to pay $25 million to settle three lawsuits alleging fraud against Trump University.
Donald Trump and his legal team have settled in the Trump University lawsuit. It appears the president-elect will not have to go on trial before heading to the White House.
Congratulations, America! We did it! Our president will not have to go on trial before heading to the White House. It feels good to win again. Now, obviously, this is a potentially embarrassing development for a president-elect, especially one who has bragged repeatedly that he does not settle lawsuits. And in an effort to save face, Trump responded to the news in a calm, statesmanlike way by holding his first official press conference as a president. No, I'm just kidding. He tweeted about this, too.
Just this morning, Trump got on social media, and he tweeted out, the first tweet that he did was, "I settled the Trump University lawsuit for a small fraction of the award because, as president, I have to focus on our country." And then minutes later, he got back on social media, and he tweeted, "The only bad thing about winning the presidency is that I did not have the time to go through a long but winning trial on Trump University. Too bad."
Who does he think he's convincing when he says stuff like that? That's like me saying, "I would love to fight Conor McGregor, but unfortunately, I'm really busy with my late-night show. You lucked out, Conor." And by the way, just in case you need a refresher, here's a small sample of what Trump University was accused of doing in these lawsuits.
The lawsuits all basically say the same thing, that almost everything about Trump University was a lie, starting with the name.
The documents also include a company playbook that urged the sales team to push hard to enroll students even when they were financially strapped, down even to a single mother of three who, quote, may need money for food.
They targeted single mothers who needed money for food. When the ghost of Christmas past visits Trump this year, he's going to be like, "Dude, that's f***ed up." And while that's in the past now, there are plenty of new ethical questions surrounding Trump in the present, like, for example, the apparent lack of separation between his business empire and his presidential transition.
Donald Trump facing questions now about how he'll separate his duties as president from his obligations to the more than 500 businesses that he controls. A new round of questions raised when Trump was photographed with three of his Indian business partners at the same time he was working to set up his transition team.
Do Donald Trump's children pose a conflict of interest potentially for the incoming administration? The president-elect is facing questions and criticism after his daughter Ivanka sat in on the meeting the president-elect had with the Japanese prime minister.
So his daughter sat in on a meeting with a foreign leader. Maybe she was just filling in for Mike Pence, who bailed because he didn't want to get booed in Japanese. Now, as you may recall, a common criticism of the Clintons was how they enriched themselves financially after leaving office. Well, Trump is proving once again that he's the anti-Clinton by enriching himself before he takes office.
Republicans had accused Hillary Clinton, you may recall, of pay-to-play politics on the campaign trail. Now, the Washington Post reports that Trump's own business is pitching a newly renovated Washington hotel to foreign diplomats.
The Washington Post reported that about 100 foreign diplomats gathered there this week to sip Trump-branded champagne, dine on sliders, and hear a sales pitch about the new hotel.
You had a bunch of diplomats over and you served sliders? Were you out of Hot Pockets? So Trump's D.C. hotel is openly advertising itself to foreign diplomats as a place to stay while they're in town doing official business with Trump's government. And it's apparently working. Several diplomats told the Washington Post that spending money at Trump's hotel is an easy, friendly gesture to the new president. One diplomat explained it this way: why wouldn't I stay at his hotel blocks from the White House so I can tell the new president, I love your new hotel? Isn't it rude to come to his city and say, I'm staying at your competitor? And I do think Donald Trump would punish you for staying in a different hotel.
Why are we not honoring our trade deal? Well, maybe you should ask your pal, J.W. Marriott.
And these concerns about Trump's foreign ties and conflicts of interest aren't just some left-wing obsession. They're bipartisan. For example, the chief White House ethics lawyer under President George W. Bush told the Washington Post, quote, if we've got to talk to a foreign government about their behavior or negotiate a treaty or some country asks us to send our troops in to defend someone else, we've got to make a decision. And the question becomes, are we going in out of our national interest or because there's a Trump casino around? That's ridiculous. There are no Trump casinos around anymore. You'd have a better chance of finding an operating Blockbuster Video. Yeah, we've got a new arrival section, but that's where the raccoons live, so be careful. So Twitter feuds may be fun, but we need to pay attention to what Team Trump is really up to because they want us to be distracted. In fact, Trump's incoming chief strategist, Steve Bannon, openly admitted that in an interview last week.
Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, is also causing quite the stir. He had this to say in a rare interview to The Hollywood Reporter, saying this, quote, darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, that's power. It only helps us when they, liberals, get it wrong, when they're blind to who we are and what we're doing.
Now, I know that sounds terrifying. And by the way, can you even imagine how the media would react if Hillary Clinton had met with her business partners while she was still Secretary of State and one of her aides talked positively about Satan? I think the news coverage would sound something like this. This has been A Closer Look.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Tumblr. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night with Seth Meyers at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. Thanks for listening.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.